Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I also don't believe that the public's perceived right to trample on private property trumps property rights. I mean, where do we draw the line if we don't draw the line right now? How do I know that's not going to happen on my own personal property? I got an interior lot. Why does it stop here? Why isn't it on Old River? Why isn't it on that side? Why isn't it on that side of the water? Of that island, I just don't know where it ends.
It actually is kind of a weird thing that the customary use stuff doesn't appear to be applicable anywhere on the sound side. You know, none of that side seems to be in any kind of contention. Nobody questions it. It's entirely on the, you know, the Gulf of Mexico side. Yeah, I said it. so did Tim Day when he was giving his presentation.
America.
Nope. Anyway, so this is Steve Stroberger, commissioner for District 1. Ever since Jeff Bergosh, you know, gerrymandered the districts, it's now District 1. Whatever, it's all done but the complaining as a lot of things. Anyway, so it's his district now, even though it's a weird district if you look at it. But anyway, he's talking about how he believes in property rights, and he doesn't like the idea that it might lead to something else. I don't think that's such an issue. I can't give you the exact reason why somebody might not think that a sound side lot would have the same concern, or that an interior lot, why can't I go on somebody's backyard? Why can't I go on their front yard? Why can't I, you know, it just doesn't. There's not in the sort of popular consciousness the idea that you're entitled to go on those lands, whereas there is in at least some people's popular consciousness the idea that they can go on the beach land because kind of historically they always did, which is the idea of customary use. That's the way we've been using it, and you can't just suddenly take it away from us.
And I just can't let, you know, mob rule. I know elections are...
By the way, I like Steve, but on the one hand, he is talking about talks about the importance of, you know, civil discourse and the next conversation, like talking about the issue today so that you can talk about the next issue tomorrow kind of stuff. But then choosing to call it mob rule does not facilitate that value, right? I get what he's talking about, that he feels like there's a lot of people who are showing up in force to try to convey political strength they may or may not actually have, or to try to intimidate the board, or just to do what democracy allows, which is to show up and protest or, you know, redress or whatever you want to do. But calling it a mob is not super helpful.
You know, mob rule. I know elections are what drives decisions a lot of times. This is not an election issue for me. Not because I don't have an election, but because this is foundational for me. I believe in property rights. I've traveled around the world, and I've been to countries without property rights. We have them here.
So if you're American, you're with him because he's a military guy and he's been around the world in socialist countries or semi-socialist countries, and they don't have property rights and we do, so you don't understand what it means to be American. In America, you can own your beach, is what he's saying. Maybe not saying it quite that bluntly. I mean, he's blunt in his own way. You know, there's something un-American about you if you're trying to get customary use across somebody else's property line. Maybe. You know, I mean, he started off with quoting the Constitution, right to life, liberty, and property. Government's there to protect it. And it's, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying there's definitely a tone of animosity on both sides. Okay. I'm not putting this all on Steve for sure. In fact, that's going to come up in a minute.
So theoretically, if something was to happen at the backyard of one of the condos and someone was to lose their life, could that family sue the condo for not having a lifeguard?
I mean, people sue for lots of things. Yeah.
Right. Or what if somebody, you know, somebody gets injured, somebody leaves a mess, who's responsible for that?
And people own that property. And what you think and I've heard is that we're not, we don't want the property. We just want to, we just want to be able to be on the beach there. You won't own it. The property owners will still own it, and they'll still have to clean that beach, right? They'll own that property, and they'll have to. Yes, they will. And that's what happens in Walton County. You can shake your head, but you don't know.
Now, I suppose theoretically the county could hire people to go clean the beach. They could do patrols with lifeguards. I mean, I don't know if they could actually put out a tower, but I'm, you know, if it's available to the public to use, it's available to the county to use, you would think. I don't know. Structure, not probably a tower is a little bit too fixed and permanent to put in somebody's backyard, but you could at least have, you know, driving patrols, theoretically. I mean, it depends on how much it gets used, whether it's worth it. Now, Allison Rogers is quick to point out, as county attorney, that people are not entitled to lifeguard protection just because they're customary using somebody's beach backyard. And that's true as well. But, you know, then who's responsible? And if somebody drowns or somebody gets hurt, you know, who gets sued? Well, you know, the property owner gets sued. Well, they didn't want them there in the first place, you know. But that's the nature of property, too, is if you have a front yard and somebody comes on it and they fall, they sue you. Well, is that your fault? Well, you didn't fence off your yard. Yeah, but you shouldn't have to, right? And as I said a moment ago, there was drama on both sides.
At this meeting especially. But here's what the conversation
that I've
been having.
Commissioner Sherburne, just a moment. If you're in the audience and you're flipping the bird to us, that is also inappropriate, sir, with the glasses. So let's not do that.
Who did that?
Thank you.
So, you know, let's just say emotions are running high. Now, this is not a meeting where the people can publicly participate. This is a committee of the whole, so it's just for the commissioners. I had suggested, I thought, a meeting on this subject only would have been better because the public can participate. They're going to show up at the night meeting on Thursday. I mean, they showed up at the night meeting on Thursday and talked a lot. Every meeting there is until now, until this issue is settled, we'll have a lot of people at it. Because the people who want to go across the beach that does not belong to them except through customary use, want to go across the beach that does not belong to them except through customary use, and the people who do not want them to go across the beach that belongs to them except for customary use, right? You know, or that's the question. They don't want that to be available either. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. I'm starting to see a minor delay through that construction zone. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile is seeing just some minor congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Okay, this to me, this is kind of the heart of a slice of this issue. I got somebody texted in 437-1620. Beach homeowners are ridiculous to think that they can own the beach just because it's in front of their property. Their property should be up to the dunes, and that's all. It's the rest is public to own. The beach is ridiculous. Well, why? By the way, the property lines don't end at the dunes. On Pensacola Beach, they do. Okay? But on Perdido Key, they don't. They go to the water. They go to the mean high water line. So they literally own the beach. It's part of their deed. And even the places where there's that 75-foot access easement, which, by the way, it might be worth talking about the geography here a little bit, going from east to west, Johnson Beach is all government-owned. Then there's 4,000 feet of no rule right now, where we're trying to figure it out. That goes all the way to the, which condo? I always want to forget the name of it. It's the Perdido Sun condo is in that same stretch. And then the next one over, basically Perdido Sky, is where the rules change because there's that 75-foot perpetual easement. So people have 75 feet of access that goes all the way to the state park. And then in there you have access 2 and access 3. Then you have the state park. And then on the west side of the state park, you have, again, there's no public access except through customary use. And you have access 4 and then all the way to the state line, about 2.5 miles, 2.25 miles, something like that. And they're trying to figure out what to do with these stretches. And on those areas, the lot line is the water. Just like the lot line is the water on homes that are on the Perdido River, homes that are on the Blackwater River, homes that are on the Sound, homes that are on the Bay. It's no different than any other water property. Or, you know, I always think of Gulf Breeze because it's such an obvious example. You know, you can't just walk up on somebody's beach behind Gulf Breeze. You can go to Dead Man's Island, but people own the property. Except at Shoreline Park, except, you know, unless it's a park, you can't go there. Well, that's what they're saying here because people own it. The lot line really goes that far. 437-1620, 437-1620. So, the commissioners are trying to figure this out. Escambia County, under the new rules, has the opportunity to basically declare customary use for certain whatever stretch they think the evidence justifies. Of course, the people who own and don't want that to happen are going to sue. And then we have a lawsuit. It's been very expensive elsewhere. Remember all the lawsuit over the lease fees and stuff and how can you have to pay a property tax on a lease and all. And remember all of that? It will be like that again. Because the people who want not to have people in their beach backyard want it not real bad. The people who want to also want it real bad. And they both have standing. If I'm a judge, they both have standing. Okay? So there's going to be lawsuits. Nobody's going to be thrilled about this in the end. Steve Stroberger is trying to say, well, could we maybe not do something else? Could we maybe have a daily use pass for Johnson Beach? Or can we work out a deal for the state park? Can we just make there be more beach available? Well, the beach ladies, who are always the extremist of whatever extreme there is available, they kept saying many times at the county commission meeting at the night, we want every inch of the sand, you know, all the way from the dunes to the water, from the Alabama state line to Johnson Beach. They want it all. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what they want. I mean, theoretically, it's not going to be all the sand, I wouldn't think. But in any case, Steve says,
and we can come up with a way for all Escambia residents, and I just mean Escambia residents now, to be able to use those parks. We'll have to agree on how we do that. And I expect to have a meeting with him personally in the next couple of weeks to try to iron out some of those details. So that would provide more beach access for everybody. Problem is, I don't think that's going to be enough. It just won't be enough because, yeah, that's exactly why. Because compromise is not something we come to easily here. It's always a fight to the death.
For the people who believe that it is theirs because they bought it, it's theirs because they bought it. For people who believe that it's everybody's because you can't buy it, they believe that it's everybody's because you can't buy it. Now, I think they would acknowledge that some people have bought it, and they say, fine, you can own it, but we want to be able to use it. We're entitled to use it. And that's a zero-sum game. One person has to be able to be excluded or not from the property. You can trespass them or you can't. That's the issue. And somebody says, well, can't the sheriff figure this out? Good Lord, don't make the sheriff have to figure this out. The rules are already murky enough. This is why we're having these hearings. This is why the Escambia County Commission is going to have to make a decision. This is why whatever they decide, there's going to be lawsuits. And at the end of all that, then the sheriff will know these lots, yes, those lots, no. I mean, or whatever the rule is, because there's no clarity yet. I mean, technically at this point, I think the property owners have the legal power to exclude because customary use hasn't been declared. But if you go on that land, I don't think the sheriff's deputies are going to do anything because, I mean, they're not going to get, it's not their job to figure out the law. It's their job to enforce the law when the law is clear, and the law is very unclear right now.
And what's going to happen is we're going to still not own the property, and the property owners are still going to have the liability and the garbage to pick up when someone's playing beer pong in their backyard or just trashing the beach in general or someone steps on some glass on their property. I'm trying to avoid all that. So I'm still going to pursue more property beach access. That's what I want to do, and I think that's the right thing to do. I think this whole subject of customary use is trouble. It's asking for trouble, and it's not going to be easy to prove.
And he's very much on the do not allow customary use side. He's said so repeatedly, and he's trying to raise access elsewhere, but he doesn't want to give away people's private beaches to the public. This is the way he styles it. Also,
I think everyone's got to be a lot more respectful, no more damn fingers and all that stuff. That really ticks me off.
Use all your fingers, as Ryan Jenkins says. Don't just use the one. 437-1620, 437-1620. I will give you one thought. And I'll tell you, I probably lean more to the property ownership side of things, because I do think it's weird the idea that the public would be able to say that's your property, but I can use it. That seems weird to me. I also like the idea of public available use. I mean, who doesn't? Okay. I think there's a lot of like rich person envy in this conversation. People at the night meeting kept talking about, you know, what must be nice for you to be rich enough to own that property. Well, I mean, that's what property ownership means. You know, they own stuff you don't own. But I will say this. The one thing that I keep hearing that is weird to me, and I hear it the strongest in the yellow shirt ladies, but I hear it in other people as well, is they basically want Perdido Key to have the same public access that Pensacola Beach has. And my thought about that is, but if that's true, then who owns the property has been rendered irrelevant. And in my mind, who owns the property is always an important factor. On Pensacola Beach, the county owns the property. On Perdido Key, the county does not own the property. Now, you can own with easements, right? And customary use is like a accepted easement is what it is. It's not a legal easement. It's an accepted easement. And what the county is going to do is turn it into a legal easement by declaring customary use. But it's a weird thing to hold the belief that whether you own the property or you don't own the property is completely irrelevant. I mean, after all, they do pay taxes on it, right? Is the county going to buy them out of their easement? Is the county going to offer money to pay them for the easement? Well, we shouldn't have to. It's customary use for the public. Well, I mean, but you see, then if it's that's true, then why should they not get a, you know, some kind of a discount on their property taxes? Because they don't really own it the way you normally own your backyard. You know, there's a lot of conversation about this. It's not going to be solved today. It's not going to be solved in a week. It's going to be a couple of months probably before the county commission even has a formal hearing to declare customary use for any of these parcels. So we're just tracking it and be aware this is a big thing because everybody wants beach access. They want to own it. They want to use it. Whatever the case is, salt water and sand makes people very interested. 726 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you expect about a 7-minute delay through that construction zone. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile, expect a 9-minute delay. And let's see here, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, it's about a 6-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you facing a trial right now in your life? Let me urge you to read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In that passage, you'll read four essential things that will help anyone facing a trial. And they all start with the letter G. First, you'll see God's goal in allowing the trial in your life. Second, you'll find the thing that God wants you to get or be in pursuit of that will help you through the trial. Thirdly, you'll find grace to handle the trial. And fourthly, you'll read about a heavenly gift that is described in verse number 12. I don't know the details of your specific trial, but I do know that God wants to comfort you. And the way he does that is primarily through his word. So read James chapter 1 and reflect on the goodness of God. You'll be glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know, sometimes you want answers.
Sometimes you just want something upbeat.
Either way, Meg's got you covered. Pet Talk, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I'm looking for Wayne. I'm very concerned about him. He seems to be going through this difficult phase right now. You know what I think it is?
Bet your mental.
Somebody asked, so I'm in a boat 10 feet from the shore. Am I in their backyard? No, you're allowed to be in the water. Although it's true that at some times of the year you can be on the dry sand and be on state land based on where the tide is. And sometimes you can be in the water and be on private land because it's not based on where the water is. It's based on the mean high water line and, mean high tide line. So, and, you know, it's complicated. It just it's everybody wants water access. Therefore, there's disagreement over who has access to it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. By the way, Andrew, welcome back. I'm glad
it's
to have
good
you
to be back.
In the,
I love
studio
my job
today. Well, starting today, members of Congress are being given access to the unredacted copies of more than 3 million Epstein files. Lawmakers will have to view those files at the Justice Department and during business hours. And, hey, if you were up too late watching maybe the Super Bowl or Olympics or whatever, Starbucks offering free coffee today, but only for rewards members.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's Pizza Day, so there's various chains are having discounts today because it's National Pizza Day. So John suddenly got eager.
Well, I was like, what?
Everybody's eyes just perked up.
I know, for sure. All right, we'll have Congressman Jimmy Petronas on coming up next.
I'm CJ Papa. Day 9 of the search for Nancy Guthrie.
Some of the final moments before the Guthrie family may pay out millions of dollars to these alleged captor or captors. Pima County Sheriff posting yesterday, the Nancy Guthrie investigation is ongoing. Follow-ups continue at multiple locations. No suspects, persons of interest, or vehicles have been identified.
Fox's Matt Finn in Tucson. Can Wall Street build on Friday's monster close?
The market is basically telling you that the economy is firing on all cylinders. So we got him at 50,000, first time ever, 50,115. That is up more than 1,206. Or nearly 2.5%. You know, this has been a pretty quick run from 40 to 50.
Fox Business' Cheryl Cressoni in Seattle dominates New England and captures Super Bowl 60. America's listening to Fox News.
It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got partly cloudy skies, closing in on 50 degrees right now, looking like an absolutely gorgeous morning. We'll get our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up here in just a few moments. A 36-year-old Escambia County mother is facing charges of homicide in relation to her 5-year-old son's death. Jalinda Smith is facing an aggravated negligent manslaughter of a child charge. The boy's body was found Friday morning in Perdido Bay in a trash bag. Deputies say they responded after getting a call from the woman's sister.
She has some concerns about her 5-year-old nephew.
And the child had not been reported missing before the body was found. Crime scene investigators searched Smith's apartment, which was about half an hour from where the body was recovered. Smith is currently being held with no bond. Court records also show she was arrested on a child neglect charge a few years ago, but that had been dropped after she completed a parenting course. Now, there's an effort underway in Washington to free up millions of dollars in Deepwater Horizon fines for Gulf Coast counties. More than $414 million has been sitting unused under Treasury Department control. About $137 million belongs to Florida counties. Nearly $88 million earmarked for 8 Northwest Florida counties. Escambia County is eligible for about another $20.5 million. Santa Rosa for about $5.3 million. Former Congressman Steve Sutherland says bureaucratic red tape created a bit of a logjam with that money. Federal spending bill signed on February 3rd includes funding for an audit to streamline that process. Pensacola police asking for the public's help in a fatal crash investigation. The scenic highway crash back on January 30th has now claimed 2 lives. Traffic homicide investigators are asking for any information related to a blue Jeep Wrangler with a black soft top. They say that vehicle was stopped at W and Mobile Highway around 5 p.m. on the day of that crash. It was then seen traveling eastbound on Cervantes. If you have information on the vehicle or the driver, contact PPD investigator Chase Collins, or you can call Crime Stoppers. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission releasing some new data on the state's first bear hunt in a decade. Nearly half of the 52 bears killed during the 23-day hunt were female. They say none were lactating. All but six of the 172 permits had been purchased by Florida residents. The hunt was held in four regions where about 3,600 bears live. The FWC says all harvested bears did meet size requirements, and they say no citations were issued. The heaviest bear killed in the hunt weighed 697 pounds. Two Baldwin County men have been arrested in connection with the Martin Luther King Jr. Day shooting that happened in Atmore. Jijavius Jadarius Williams and Jitavius Jamar Williams are charged with two counts of attempted murder, multiple shooting charges. The two were arrested in Baldwin County and taken to the Escambia County Detention Center in Alabama. This brings the total number of arrests to four. Police say the investigation is ongoing and additional arrests are also expected in that case. It's 735 News Radio 92.3. Again, we've got a nice morning, about 50 degrees right now. Let's check in with John Pickens and get an update on our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by the Florida West Economic Development. It's about building our economy for all current and future residents. Presented by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Still no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone is seeing a minor slowdown there. I'd say about 12 minutes through that construction zone. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola experiencing a 7-minute delay. And other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And let's get a look at our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 70 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. For Tuesday, partly sunny skies, high near 69. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 58. As you head into Wednesday, we will spring in a small 20% chance of rain, high near 71. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got partly cloudy skies. It's 50 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes in breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Maryland officials are asking federal help after what they describe as one of the worst oyster seasons in state history. Maryland Representative Andy Harishas has asked the NOAA to declare an economic fishery disaster. Such a designation could unlock emergency federal assistance. Hims & Hers says it will stop offering its copycat Wegovy weight loss pill. The decision comes after Novo Nordisk, maker of Wegovy, and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration threatened legal action against the telehealth provider. Customs and Border Protection reports that agricultural specialists at Miami International Airport will process about 990 million stems of cut flowers in the weeks before February 14th. Around 90% of the fresh cut flowers being sold for Valentine's Day in the U.S. come through Miami. The other 10% pass through Los Angeles. Futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 1206, rising above 50,000 for the very first time. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
This is a project that can be a generational change for our city.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves delivered the State of the City Address.
Getting the $76 million grant from Triumph, I believe either the second or third largest in the history of Triumph.
And News Radio covered it live.
2,000 high-paying jobs, 1,500 of those jobs, give or take, at 68,000. The other 500 jobs, average salary over 100,000.
News, it's what we do. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You know
I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
I think the board should write the Department of Interior and ask for a daily rate. You know, I know it's $45 a year, $7 for our $25 for 7 days, but there doesn't seem like any reason why we shouldn't ask the Department of Interior for a daily rate. You know, a lot of people don't that aren't on their vacation can't spend 7 days out at the beach. They can take their kid for their birthday party. So I would love to have the board support something like that for beach access as well.
This is Commissioner Mike Kohler, District 2. That includes NES Pensacola, Warrington, that kind of area, west side of Pensacola. And what he's talking about there is as a solution to the customary use, beach access, private property kind of discussion that we're having. He says, Steve Stroberger, same thing, and they're good friends. Of course, Steve used to be his district aide. Talking about, can we not get the state park to be more user-friendly, or maybe, I don't even know if it's pay something, honestly, I think you do, but, you know, could it be free for Escambia residents? And then Johnson Beach, the Gulf Islands National Seashore, it's too expensive to pay $25 just to go to the beach for one day. Can we not get a day rate, $5, something like that? Joining us now, we have Jimmy Petronas. He is our congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, is this a conversation that you have been a part of yet, or is this something that does that seem like the kind of thing that, you know, makes sense to you to get a discounted, just a single day rate to go to the National Seashore from the Interior Department?
Yeah, I'll reach out to Cole. This isn't something he's briefed me on, but I'd be happy to work on it. But Andrew, for years, all right, so I was on the Florida cabinet. We would buy and sell land, more or less buy a lot of land or buy the development rights. And one thing that I obsessed about whenever we bought this land is it's got to have a public good. It's got to have public access.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm kind of, you know, wanting to make sure we do everything humanly possible to make this as affordable as possible for folks to access the property. I mean, this is the public's property, you know? I can see the importance of wanting to charge something to get access to it, but let's just make sure it's reasonable. I don't want to nickel. I mean, I'd prefer to try to figure out a way not to nickel and dime people to enjoy what they own in the first place.
Yeah, no. And I mean, we're so used to like Pensacola Beach where it's the only thing you got to pay is a buck to go across the bridge. And nobody feels like that is, I mean, who cares, right? It's a buck. You know, there's no feet across the Perdido Key Bridge. But then to go into Johnson Beach, it's, you know, oh, my God, that's a lot of money just to go to the beach, right, if that's where you want to go. So, good. I'd love to see you guys work on this and seeing if we can come up with at least a choice. You know, choices are always going to make things better. You guys have been working on
– somebody's gonna stir up Kohler here in the next couple minutes if he's not listening. So, anyway, yeah, be glad to do it. Matter of fact, everybody that's listening, this is Mike Kohler's phone number. Please call him right now and tell him Jimmy wants to help.
All right, and we'll see if the congressman can pay for the melted phone too. The Save for Success Act. This is basically opening up the opportunity for anybody who's. It's like the opposite of a student loan. If you've got a surplus in your tuition account, you'd be able to use it for a down payment on a home, right?
Yeah. So I mean, this is the way I look at it. Let's make it Florida-centric a minute, okay? But this is actually a national piece of legislation. So Florida-centric, if your young man or young daughter did well enough to be able to get, say, 100% Bright Futures, and then maybe you went ahead and did prepaid or some form of prepaid, or they were able to get some scholarship money. So now they've gone out, they've used Florida prepaid at the expense of the taxpayers, but the benefit of from a state program, and now they've been able to get some scholarships. So let's say mom and dad's 529 plan didn't get touched. Then why not let them pivot and use that money as a down payment assistance solution and, you know, allow a kid who worked hard or even worked hard and put themselves through school to be able to take that 529 money and use it as a down payment. So, or a mortgage assistance plan. So it's crazy this wasn't already the law of the land, but, you know, home ownership, you've heard me say it before, I think it's the most powerful force for good. I think people stay out of trouble. I think they show up to work. They take care of that investment when they own something of that magnitude. So why not think outside of the box and allow them to do a little bit more with that money that is theirs in the first place?
Yeah, and I'm with you. It makes sense to me. It's also, I think, a little bit of a, like you say, Florida-centric, because how many other places in the country have the very affordable college rates that we have? You know, I know a lot of places in the country, I think the average person's like, what you mean, education fund surplus? Like, that's going to be alien language to them. But, hey, where it exists, you know, why not? Exactly right. Why not free that up a little bit?
Yeah, it's exciting. So, I mean, and y'all, please, look, I'm you know, accessible. Ideas that you've got to be able to manipulate existing federal programs, you know, my door is always open. Ideas. This came from a buddy of mine, a Greek by the name of Pete Belazos, who sent this idea to me. And so, I mean, this came from a friend. It could be just as much coming from a constituent. So, you know, y'all please engage.
Oh, I love that. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for District 1. Hang on just a second, Jimmy. John has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app, available February 16th. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Still no accidents to let you know about. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, experiencing a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Back to Jimmy Patronis. Did you get a text from Mike yet? I did.
No, not yet.
I did. Yeah. It's funny.
I don't think you had your radio transmitter up powerful enough. Turn it up a little bit and say it all over again.
That's funny. Hey, the Trump RX thing. I've read some analysis of this that makes it sound like, you know, maybe it's not going to have that sweeping of an effect. I've got a kind of a wing nutty idea here that I'm sure that, you know, the lawyers would fight me tooth and nail on this, but hear me out. I love the concept of the most favored nation rate. You know, the idea that if you charge a rate to the Canadians or the Nigerians or whatever, then the people here at home should not have to pay a higher rate than that for a prescription drug. But here's my trade-off on this. Here's how I think you accomplish that. That's the bargain when we protect your patent. We're going to grant you a patent, and we're going to protect it.
That's right.
And the trade-off is you get patent protection because you're offering to us, the public, the, you know, America, that you're going to give us the drug at no greater rate than you charge anybody else. That seems like a really obvious trade-off to me.
Well, again, I'm not a patent attorney, and
right.
I've never filed a patent before. But I would think we would need a change in at least patent law in order to get that type of status. But it makes sense to me. I mean, you're having the protection of the world's largest economy
right.
to ensure that your formula is protected for the 17 years that it's going to be on patent. So, I mean, it's at least another lane for protection and leverage and negotiating.
Right. I mean, I love that it's in the Constitution that we protect people's, you know, copyrights, trademarks, patents. That's good. But should we do it for nothing, or should we just, you know, here's an opportunity for us to do it for something that is for the public good. And, you know, hey, look, if you don't want to give us the cheap rate, then, you know, why do we need to give you patent protection? I mean, that seems like an opportunity for me to me. Talk a little bit about the Blue Angels hangar funding and the funding that's going to go to the Navy Boulevard reconstruction. Is it $12 million and $3 million? Do I have these numbers right?
Correct. So $3 million in Navy Boulevard for enhancements, and then $12 million to go towards the Blue Angels hangar. Essentially, they're like tagged dollars. Those dollars can only be used for restoration purposes, replacement purposes of the Blue Angels hangar. And so the price on it is a moving target. If you look at the hangars that were built out at the airport, the current airport, they were, I believe, they're each under $100 million. But the way things have to be built going through the Department of Defense, they cost, you know, multiples of that. So
right.
This was one of the great things about having Hun Cao, the Undersecretary of the Navy, down a few weeks ago, is he's, you know, trying to find other ways in order to speed up infrastructure. Because I tell you, the bureaucracy of the Pentagon, I mean, people will have passed away before we even break ground on something that should have been replaced 25 years ago. So we're just there's just so much of a reset button that's got to hit in different levels. That's what the president was fussing about the other day with just the defense industry in general, is, guys, you're not producing enough. You're not getting enough of rolling stock out on the market for our users to want to be able to get their hands on. So and fixed capital outlay construction is no different.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the Pentagon, and I know this is not really, it's not a local issue, it's not a Patronus issue, it's nothing, but there are so many negative stories about procurement, particularly shipbuilding, all these things. There was one good news note late last week that the new Abrams, it's going to be a hybrid, so it can run in basically whisper mode, is actually kind of ready to start they've got the demo out and they're ready to build it, and that's like ahead of schedule and under budget, which is kind of an amazing thing to think about for anything that the Pentagon does. So just throw one little good news note out there about that. What the CIA fact book going away, the World Fact Book, and also the deleting of the entirety of the White House president's Twitter feed from prior to his administration. It's not even going to keep the first administration. It's going to get rid of all of that. I don't love the government eliminating information. I get the argument about it's our policy and we don't want to have any unclarity about it. But I mean, the fact book was just like a giant encyclopedia of world facts. Why would that go away?
Yeah, now I'm not familiar about its departure, but I'm happy to look into it and ask questions. But it sounds like you're more informed about it than I am. Unfortunately, sometimes if I'm not sitting on that particular committee, that you're speaking in, then I'm going to be a week behind it just because I'll be immersed in what I'm specifically sitting on. I didn't realize that the president or the administration was trying to archive the Twitter files. But who knows what the motivation is for that? Maybe Elon wants to save server space for Gronk. I have no idea.
Yeah, it was just kind of I don't really care about this video thing with the Obamas and all that. I think that's a way overblown story. But it seems to have followed in the wake of that everything is going to be archived internally where you can public records request it, but you won't be able to just go look at it, which I think is a loss of access. And, you know, the fact book, too, is kind of like just kind of suddenly got and obviously, if you don't know anything about that, that's no big deal. Can't know everything. I know that. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, just kind of because it was the weekend. We had the Super Bowl, and I know you are a country music fan. We talked about this before. I assume you watched the Super Bowl because I know you're a football fan. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did, and I was rooting for the Patriots, and they got totally embarrassed. But that's okay. It was exciting but the best thing about it, I thought, was Devon Weatherspoon, Pensacola's own, stripping the football. Had a massive interview thereafter. I mean, it's like the first real interview that happened live on NBC. So, I mean, I got chills just telling you this because, I mean, I get excited about when a young man, comes from our part of the country, plays on the biggest athletic stage and football, makes a play that obviously is pivotal to turning around or cementing a victory. And you see this young man just, telling the whole world about how proud he is of their work ethic and what they did. So congratulations, Seahawks.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was really neat seeing him get interviewed. God, he played a great game, too. Part of that, like you said, that one strip play was amazing. One of the early sacks was amazing. He's so fast.
Yeah.
And, graduating Pine Forest, and he's just a local kid. And I love that he talks 100% like he grew up here. If you didn't know he was from here, you would know he was from here by the way he talks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so give us your play-by-play about why you watch Bad Bunny live exclusively.
Well, you watched TPUSA, right? You didn't watch, I assume you didn't watch Bad Bunny at all? You switched channels? Because you're a country fan.
I have. The only thing I know about Bad Bunny is what you were kind of alluding to at the beginning of our pre-show conversation. That's all I know.
Yeah.
If Bad Bunny walked in, I wouldn't know who he is.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either. And I was not a hater. I was not against this. I didn't think there was a problem with having him as a halftime show. I just found it boring. I don't know the music. I don't particularly like the music. The show was sort of low key. It was like somebody was setting a musical up on the stage, on, you know, and it was fine. It was creative, but it was a halftime show, but it didn't capture me. But I had the same reaction to the TPUSA because I'm not a country fan, and you know, I didn't find anything there for me either. I assume country fans loved it because I know from John and David, and I guess from you love that one.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine. I mean, we switched over to OAM and watched it streaming there, and you know, and then when it was over, we switched back. It seemed like it was a little bit of a delay, so we missed the first couple minutes of the second half because of it.
Well, you didn't miss much. Especially if you're a Patriots fan. Jimmy Patronis, he's our congressman from District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, Mike hasn't reached out. You didn't get his attention with our conversation. All right, thanks.
I bet he will. Jimmy, thanks. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. If you're on I-10 eastbound, between 9 Mile and Highway 29, expect about a 12-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 just south of 9 Mile going all the way to the interstate going southbound, experiencing about a 15-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you need air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing work done on your home, those are all kind of the big complicated inside your house repairs, and Peden does all of that. Because kind of once you do one, you might as well start to learn how to do the others. And that's basically what Robert Peden did, starting the company in 1969, Panama City, expanding both territorially and in product line. It was AC in the beginning, but now they're everywhere from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile. Yeah, across state lines the last couple of years. So anywhere on the Gulf Coast, good products, good installation, good people, 100% satisfaction guarantee on the work because they're going to take care of you. And right now, you got regulatory changes that can sometimes affect the price of your major appliances. And you can beat those annual regulatory price bumps with Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. Take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Hear that? That's Mike. He took ZzzQuil Pure Z's, so now he's sleeping soundly on a Sunday night. ZzzQuil Pure Z's are fast-acting melatonin gummies with a complimentary botanical blend to help Mike get the sleep he needs to wake up refreshed and ready to conquer Monday.
Let's do this Monday.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's, just for sleep. Really great sleep. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Beads are fun.
Laissez les bons temps rouler.
Moon pies, too. Traffic, not so much. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Love you, baby. You're beautiful.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. So Turning Point USA's alternative halftime show yesterday drew reportedly more than 18 million viewers during the halftime show of Super Bowl 60. The organization, founded by Charlie Kirk, of course, focusing on faith, family, and freedom during that show, Now, Bad Bunny may have gotten just a smidge more viewers. They're saying he had about 133
million. 133 million only? No, that, seriously.
That's what I've got.
I was always under the impression that the Super Bowl was like a billion and a half people.
Well, maybe you're talking just domestically,
133.
Possibly just domestically. I'll have to double check the numbers.
Okay, that's certainly possible, sure.
Desperate search continuing in Arizona today for the missing mother of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie. Of course, over the weekend, police said that there was a ransom demand of $6 million, and Savannah Guthrie and her siblings said they'd pay it to get her back safely.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We got maybe the lieutenant governor is going to come give a visit to the Santa Rosa County Jail. I don't know. Saw it on the news this morning, so we'll see. We'll talk to Sheriff Bob Johnson about that coming up next. Stick around.